I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, December 31st. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. The pandemic threw Wall Street and the U.S. economy into convulsions in 2020. And for stocks at least, a steep and sudden decline into recession last spring was followed by a surprisingly strong rebound.
The Dow Jones hit 50 all-time highs this year. 50 during a pandemic. This is not something you expect. This is during a time when some companies have no revenues because they've literally had to shut down their businesses.
Coming up, Melody Hobson, co-CEO and president of Ariel Investments, will discuss the year in markets, what 2020 meant for investors, both professionals and those just dabbling in it, as well as anyone with a 401k, and what to expect in 2021. That's after the break.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
. 2020 began with the longest bull market in history in full force. Then the pandemic hit and changed everything. Anyone owning stock, either directly or through a retirement fund, has been on a wild ride this year. But some companies and sectors have emerged as bigger winners than others. To sort through this, let's bring in Melody Hobson. She's co-CEO and president of Ariel Investments and joins me now. Melody, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about how the pandemic affected investors this year, and let's start at the beginning. Take us back to March when the markets dropped so suddenly.
Well, we had this forced closure of global economies, including the U.S. The date, doomsday, was March 13th. Everything shut down on that date, and at that point, the stock market started to drop like a lead balloon. We saw the S&P 500 fall 20% just in the bat of an eye. Smaller companies went down 30%. We had the biggest drop in the stock market from a bull to a bear market, the fastest one in U.S. history. It happened in just 20 days. Now, to put that into some context, the bear market that occurred during the financial crisis back in 2008 took 19 months. So 20 days, the market went from a bull market to a bear market.
But then we saw a stock market gain of more than 60% into the fourth quarter. What drove the turnaround?
The turnaround has really been driven by the fact that the stock market anticipates the future. And starting in not too shortly after this dramatic drop, starting in April, the stock market starts to see beyond the wreckage, the panic, the indiscriminate selling, and start to look towards a post-vaccine economy. And as that started to heat up, more and more conversations about a vaccine coming, the market has gotten richer and richer over time. And we've seen this remarkable recovery. So we had this brutal first quarter that was really started. It's really started to collapse at the beginning of March. And then we started to see this unbelievably strong second quarter, which no one anticipated. And the market has been building on that since then. And then November, we had the market, the Dow Jones, crossed the 30,000 mark, which no one expected.
Why do you think some companies' share prices rebounded faster than others?
One of the things that has been happening is the real leaders in this market have been the growth stocks. These are the high octane stocks that everyone wants to own. They've been driven by the circumstance. So not only do they have great companies, not only are these great companies great businesses, but these great businesses have been turbocharged during the pandemic. More specifically, because we're locked in, we desperately need their services. So think Amazon, think Apple, and the like. And interestingly, these stocks, which are called the FANG stocks, plus Microsoft, and the FANG is representative of the initials of the companies, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and the like, Google, which is now called Alphabet, plus Microsoft, these stocks have been dominating the market. So in some ways, we have the best and we have the rest. And they've been dominating because their services are essential to us, especially right now. And they've also been dominating in terms of their share prices because interest rates are so low. When interest rates are this low, when you look at their price earning multiple or how expensive these companies look, those prices appear reasonable because of a value of a dollar today is more or less the same as the value of a dollar in the future, just because the rates are so low. So they've been helped by a low interest rate environment and a pandemic and the fact that they have products or services that we desperately need.
You know, when you look at the volatility of the market over the past 9 months or so, it must have caused whiplash for individual investors, not the least of which were people keeping a close eye on their 401k.
No question about it. Investors saw this again, this terrible drop, this dramatic descent. And then at the same time, simultaneously, almost instantaneously, they saw this dramatic rise. And so it really does give context to that idea of a roller coaster. Now, the thing that's really interesting to us is when you think about a roller coaster, it's so counterintuitive, but you feel safer when you're at the bottom and you feel least safe when you're at the top. But investors are just the opposite. As the stocks get cheaper, they get more and more upset. And as the stocks get more expensive, they become, which we have seen of late, euphoric.
You know, you've often mentioned that the S&P 500 is really the S&P 494. What do you mean by that?
So it's so interesting to me that because these FANG stocks plus Microsoft have been dominating so much, I mean, let me give you a perspective. Right now, these six stocks account for almost 25% of the S&P 500, and they represent 77% of the return over the last year through September. So they have really been driving the market. And that's this idea that there's the best and the rest, which makes me wonder, why are we calling it an S&P 500? Because it doesn't really represent the returns of 500 companies. It's really the S&P 494 that I want to understand what's happening there, because these six stocks have done so much to fuel the investor enthusiasm for the market.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Does this kind of disconnect in the market have a broader effect on the market, but also on investors?
Well, certainly investor psychology right now is very bullish, despite the fact that we're in a pandemic. That's the thing that is so interesting. I was looking the other day, the Dow Jones had hit 50 all-time highs this year. 50 during a pandemic. This is not something you expect. This is during a time when some companies have no revenues because they've literally had to shut down their businesses. And so as a result of that, again, this is like that ketchup commercial when I was a child for Heinz. You know, they would sing Anticipation. It's that Carly Simon song. That's what I feel like right now. This market is all about anticipation. And so that anticipation is really fueling this euphoria. So are the fundamentals there? One would say the market expects them to come, and therefore they're willing to pay for them right now, especially because rates are so low.
You know, some people pulled out of the market early for a lot of reasons, either fear or because they needed cash, and they might not have benefited from the rebound. So is it too late to get back into the market?
No. So first of all, understand that we're bottom-up stock pickers, and we always think it's a market of stocks, not a stock market. There's always going to be value to be had. It's just a question of focusing on it and finding it. We believe right now that value is in abundance in value stocks, stocks that have been widely misunderstood, ignored, or underfollowed by the market. So there's a lot of untapped value there. We also think the value is in smaller cap names. The big stocks have dominated over long periods of time. Smaller companies and undervalued names outperform. This last decade has been just the opposite. Over the last decade through September, the S&P 500 of the biggest companies out there, again, fueled by the FANGs plus Microsoft, has appreciated on average about just over 14%. Meanwhile, small companies that are value stocks, the Russell 2000 value, over this last decade have appreciated about 7% per annum. That is the exact opposite of how it's supposed to work. Typically, smaller companies grow faster than bigger ones. It's harder to grow a big business. And over the long term, that is what we would expect to occur again. So we say the pendulum has swung too far. That pendulum will swing back, not just because of mean regression, just what we should expect of investment returns by asset class over time. But also we looked at a whole host of things. We looked at the last 14 economic recoveries since the Great Depression, value led out of all 14 of them across all sectors. We also know that value performs well during periods when profits and interest rates are both accelerating. Now, a lot of people say rates are going to stay low. We're not so sure. Everything is priced for today and for perfection, but there's a chance we'll come out of this pandemic and demand and supply will be very off, and we might see prices go up and more inflation than people expect. There's a chance. And as a result, the Federal Reserve may be led to raise rates, which again benefits value companies versus the growth companies. Also, just one other point, which is why we're sort of putting our stake in the ground, that we believe if we look out the next 10 years, we're going to see a reversal of fortunes. That doesn't mean these stocks will crash. We're just saying value and smaller companies will do better. And we think that that will happen also because, as I've already suggested, the expectations for growth are just out of the stratosphere at this point. And the expectations for value are just so low. These value stocks are basically like orphaned companies. And that's when you make money.
Now, I want to go back to thinking about the volatility we saw in the market and how it could have spooked individual investors. What lessons should they take from this year's market volatility? And do you expect that to continue in 2021?
I do expect continued market volatility. We don't know when it comes or how it comes. We went through a decade where volatility in the market post the financial crisis was very, very negligible and not normal. And I think people got used to that. So we've seen volatility certainly ramp up, especially this year. And I think we're in for more of that going forward. What I would say is, you know, we hold out to some of the principles of the greatest investors of all time. And Warren Buffett says you want to be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy. I would be buying on those bad down days. And when things look really, really rich, I'd be taking profits. It's the exact opposite of what people do. They want to buy more when stocks are going up and they want less when they're going down. But over time, real money is made by being contrarian and is something that makes people very, very uncomfortable. And it's counter to every other thing we do when we make a purchase. None of us wants to buy a house and pay more for it. We want to try to drive a hard bargain in our negotiations and pay less. All of us get excited when we go into a store and something that we want is on sale. But we don't get excited when stocks are on sale for some reason. And so if we could just hold that same kind of mindset, we'll ultimately have more significant returns.
All right, that's Ariel Investments President and Co-CEO Melody Hobson. Melody, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. We'll be off tomorrow, New Year's Day, but we'll be back on Monday, January 4th, with a new episode. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.